Hey everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Vegan Ari Show. I am your host, Vegan Ari, and I am joined today, as always, by my birthday boy husband, Miko Alon.
Hi guys.
It's Miko's birthday tomorrow. Happy birthday, Miko.
Thanks, my love.
Thank you everyone so much for listening. We have a fabulous show in store for you today. We'll be opening up the show talking about some politics, current events. We also have some movie reviews for you. Very exciting. And then in the new vegan products section, it is the third annual Nogoff. That's right. We don't have not one, not two, not three, but four vegan Nogs that we will be tasting and comparing for you right on the show. And then we will be closing the show with vegan animal rights news. Now, before we get started, I just want to encourage everyone, if you want to catch up with me or with Miko during the week, please do so on Twitter. We're both on Twitter all the time. I am at Vegan Ari, Miko is at Miko Alon, or use the hashtag Vegan Ari Show. And remember, if you like the show, please consider leaving us a review and subscribing on iTunes and now on Spotify. We are finally on Spotify, so you can find us there. We're also on some other platforms, so wherever you listen to the show, you know, if you like it, leave us a good review. I'd love that, and subscribe. Okay, Miko, the first thing I want to start off with is the fact that we were awarded one of the top 25 vegan podcasts according to feedspot.com.
That's pretty amazing.
Okay, now I am just over the moon about this. I had no idea. I actually found out because some of the other podcasters in this list tagged us. And then I saw and I was like, oh my God, what's this list? And I looked. And so I went to this, this webpage where they awarded us. And they said the best vegan podcasts they chose from thousands of vegan podcasts on the web using search and social metrics. Can you believe we're in the top 25?
That's pretty cool.
Oh my, I am so excited. So thank you everyone who listens. I'm so happy, you know, I hope you guys like the show. You wouldn't be listening if you didn't like the show. But yeah, thank you for listening and thank you FeedSpot for this honor. This is amazing. So I was psyched about that. I had to bring that up at the top of the show. And also we were interviewed by AJ Garcia on his podcast, which is called Woke Stutters, which is another vegan podcast. That was really fun. How do you think we did?
I think we did pretty good.
All right. I was excited about that. I like AJ. I know AJ for a long time now because of the animal rights world. He's an incredible activist. So I was very, very honored that he asked us to be on a show. So that was really nice. Okay. Now that we've talked about some good things, let's talk about some bad things. I want to talk about what happened this week with regards to the Trump presidency, Michael Cohen. Let's start there. So Michael Cohen, we now know, has been sentenced to 3 years in prison for illegal activity involving him paying hush money to women so that they wouldn't speak out during the Trump campaign for president. He has spoken exclusively to ABC News saying that he was directed by Donald Trump. Donald Trump is saying that he did not direct him to do this. How can we be expected to believe that, though? I mean, okay, here's the thing. Why are we supposed to believe that Michael Cohen, of his own accord, just went out and paid these women? Like, come on, of course he was directed by Donald Trump. Who else would have asked him to do that?
It's just this embarrassing pattern that we see over and over again with this administration, which is first, they never even heard of Karen McDougal. Then they have heard of her, but there was no association. Then there was association, but no payments. Then there were payments, but Donald Trump didn't know anything about them and they weren't illegal. And it all comes down to the fact that the payments were absolutely illegal. They are, in fact, a felony. And Michael Cohen said in his interview with ABC News that Trump was present, Trump knew that it was illegal, and that the special counsel's office has corroborating evidence to prove that. We should also always remember that Michael Cohen, way back, started recording the president, probably, right. Finally, even a man who is as thoroughly immoral as Michael Cohen realized that what was happening was very illegal and would result probably in prison, and to protect himself, you know, taped the conversations.
I could be wrong about this, but some of those tapes were released, no?
Some have been, but there's others that no one has heard.
Because there's definitely things on those tapes where Donald Trump has said one thing and the tapes prove date, otherwise.
And I'm sure that when we start to hear more of the tapes that implicate him directly in criminality, he's going to try to insist that those tapes are fake. There was a very curious development in all these, quite secret and strange, that happened on Friday, where an entire floor of a court building was sealed off for a secret hearing on a grand jury subpoena, which a lot of people believe implicates someone very intimately, either Trump himself or someone very close to him. I think it's safe to say that the Trump presidency has entered its end times.
Well, that remains to be seen, because honestly, only Congress can hold him accountable. So, you know, Republicans still have control of the Senate. So I don't know. Will Republicans embrace patriotism and stand up for the country and stand up for what's right and hold this man accountable for his crimes? That remains to be seen.
But I think we should also remember, this is just the tip of the iceberg of the crimes. This is just one payment to hush up a porn star. There's a lot more coming.
And what is... So also this week, AMI, the company that owns National Enquirer, it came out that they also are now coming forward saying that they purposely buried stories.
I think what they did was they bought her story with exclusive rights and then buried it. And now they have admitted that they did that working in concert with the Trump campaign, which is illegal. That's another felony to influence the election. And David Packer, who is Trump's longtime friend, is cooperating with the special counsel's office, and they got immunity from prosecution. So they obviously gave a lot.
And I got to say, we're bringing all this up. We haven't even talked about the Russian collusion, which is really why all this stuff is being uncovered, because there's an ongoing investigation. I mean, there's just, how deep does it go? And honestly, when will our elected officials, when will they stand up and hold him accountable, if at all?
I saw an article this week that for a lot of Republicans, just like we talked last week, supporting this president is becoming untenable, because they know that the presidency is rotten to its core and that the ship is sinking. And you saw this week that Donald Trump could not persuade a single person to become his chief of staff, because who wants to board the USSR treason in its last voyage to captain it?
Well, I saw that Chris Christie said no. But I also saw that Jared Kushner is like kind of vying for the position. That's what everyone was saying.
That's like the guy at the end of Dr. Strangelove, who's riding down the missile.
Jared Kushner is probably going to go to prison with the rest of them, because he was present during that Russia meeting, along with his son, by the way, which was happening like the floor below where Donald Trump was. But of course, Donald Trump, according to him, didn't know about the meeting. Okay. The other thing this week that had everybody talking was this meeting at the White House with Trump and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. I mean, this was like reality television, okay? You have Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer sitting there basically handing the president his ass. And then you have Donald Trump saying, yeah, I'm happy to shut down the government if you guys don't approve funds for the wall. I'm happy to shut down the government. When in the history of the United States has a president been happy to shut down the government? That's like, it's like admitting you're a total failure.
It's also, I think Donald Trump hasn't realized that the power in this equation has shifted. The new Congress is seated right after the new year. He has no power to try to bully the Democrats around and tell them, you're going to do what I want. And I love this, that Nancy Pelosi did something that, and she, it's interesting to watch her on TV, because she has a very quiet demeanor, but she did something that not a single Republican has dared to do in the entire history of this presidency. She confronted him to his face and said, no, and you're wrong, and don't think I'm someone you can push around.
And then she walked outside the White House with her fabulous red coat and put on those sunglasses.
And I believe the sunglasses sold out on the internet.
I gotta say, you remember election night, the midterms, when she gave a speech and I was like, you know, I don't know. I think we might need new leadership in Congress. I'm a little eating my words a little bit now, because honestly, I love that she was so strong and stood up to him. And I've also read a lot over the last couple of weeks about just how effective she's been in the past. And I really think that both her and Chuck Schumer were like, you know, nope, it's not going to happen.
And Schumer said to him, if you're going to shut down the government, this is your shutdown. This is your responsibility. Yeah. And Trump was like, yeah, okay, I'll do it. I'm proud to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know how, I think he's an idiot and doesn't realize that that has real consequences for a lot of working Americans. People are not going to be happy. Please go ahead.
What about all the people who work for the government who aren't going to get paid?
And this is how stupid the Republicans are. Friday night, it was like a series of bombshells. Some deranged right-wing federal judge in Texas basically overturned Obamacare, which is certain to be appealed. But it just shows you that these people are so out of touch with what even their constituents, many of them may be deplorable racists, but I'm sure that they like having health insurance. They are just so determined to undo President Obama's legacy that they don't even care that this is something that's essential to the survival of many Americans. Like, we'll see what happens with the Obamacare fight, but it's just another gesture that this is a moribund, you know, rotting husk sinking toward the bottom of the ocean that slipped out of USSR Trump.
There you are talking about rotting husks again. This Obamacare thing, I don't even think it's worth bringing up. I don't think that's going to go anywhere. No one's overturning Obamacare.
No, but this is an attempt by 20 states to undo it. Well, and the ruling is completely, people say, void in its arguments of law.
It's bullshit. I want to go back to the wall for a minute. I think that this wall really is going to be a major issue for Donald Trump. I mean, this was a promise that he made to his base that not only was going to build this racist wall, but he was going to get Mexico to pay for it.
Now, isn't it hilarious?
Mexico's not paying for it. Now he's saying, you know, obviously we're going to have to pay for it. I mean, that's basically what he's saying. He's saying, like, if you guys don't approve funding, I'm going to shut down the government. Oh, wait a minute, Donald Trump. I thought Mexico was paying for this wall.
When are his supporters going to go like, I don't understand why we're shutting down our government over something Mexico was paying for and Donald Trump said they were paying for it? Because once again, you've been had. You've been conned. Right. And it's time to realize that you have been, you know, I'm sorry, but a fucking idiot. And it's time to wake up and just try to move forward with real leaders, also known as the Democratic Party.
All right. Well, any other politics you want to touch on?
I just want to, share some schadenfreude over the fact that Maria Butina, the Russian agent who penetrated the NRA, has pleaded guilty and is also cooperating with the special counsel's office in basically explaining how she infiltrated not just the National Rifle Association, but also the National Prayer Breakfast. You know, America's two great super patriot organizations that are now awash in red spies.
I can't stand the NRA. I honestly think the NRA is a terrorist organization.
They're a terrorist organization, and they should just change their name to the National Treason
Association. It's an absolute disgrace what is going on in this country, and they have stood against every single attempt to try and regulate guns. Even the most basic protections they're against. Meanwhile, innocent people, how many innocent people a year die because of guns in this country? Our relationship to guns in this country is we're sick. I mean, and they fuel this, and they lobby people in Congress, and I don't know why they have such a strong, powerful hold over our politicians. I don't know how much money it takes to buy
a congressman
or a congresswoman, but it's horrifying.
That era may indeed be coming to an end.
I hope
because one thing which has been delightful to see is first, you know, Trump tries to whip up all this hysteria and xenophobia about the caravan of asylum seekers that completely blew up in his face. That's why people said he lost, you know, all the suburban vote, because people don't like hate mongering. And now the NRA, the seemingly indefeatable NRA, is collapsing, is bankrupt. I don't know how much more longer I give them. We are seeing the last gasp of the extreme right wing in this country, I hope.
I wasn't going to talk about this, but speaking of the caravan, there was a 7-year-old girl who died at the border this past week. And I think, there's been a lot of horrible things said, about that situation. And I just feel like, again, to me, you know, from what I read, she went days without food. I think for me, this highlights what a horrible situation these people are in, trying to, you know, get out of the country that they live in because the situation is so dire. And again, like, the way that Donald Trump and his supporters have spoken about these people, the rhetoric around it is so appalling and so disgusting. These are human beings. any of us could be in that situation. Or any of us. I'm just lucky I was born in this country. But what if I was born in Syria? Or what if I was born in Central America? I mean, where is our compassion? Where is our empathy? This poor girl, dead. It's just horrifying. Horrifying. And to see people speak about this with anything else but compassion and empathy and going, oh my God, how can we help these people? It is really, really messed up. It is messed up.
It's been appalling to see people on the right say, well, this is the father's fault. He should have known. They traveled for days without adequate food and water. While it may be true that that's how they had to travel, we have a lot of unanswered questions about why they went apparently hours without receiving food or water when they arrived. And then they were being transported on a bus where the girl vomited and became unconscious. And she was not provided with medical care. They just kept driving for an hour and a half. And by the time that she was given medical care, it was already too late.
But doesn't that underscore the desperate situation that these people are in?
Obviously, it was too... The prospect of staying was more dangerous than leaving.
Exactly.
Who would ever, you know, risk their own life or the life of their child the situation was absolutely impossible?
And where's our compassion?
Well,
where's our empathy?
Well, the people who are running the country for the moment, the Republican Party, they have no souls. This is who they are.
Where's our humanity?
You can see who they are in their responses to this crisis.
Ugh. All right. Okay. I want to talk about a couple more things. In this section before we move on. The first is that I've sort of become obsessed with this new show that's on Facebook Watch. It's called Red Table Talk. And it's Jada Pinkett Smith, her daughter Willow Smith, and her mother, Adrienne Banfield Jones. And they sit around. It's just like it sounds. They sit around this like red table. And they discuss various topics, and I've really gotten into the show because the show is really honest and real, and they do not shy away. And this week, I watched an episode with Ellen Pompeo, who's a vegan, by the way. Just have to throw that out there. And they're talking about Ellen Pompeo is married to a man who's biracial, and they're talking about it's basically about race. And it was one of the most honest conversations that I've ever seen, on YouTube or TV regarding the situation, that people of color find themselves in and white people find themselves in with regards to relating to one another. And I really felt like, wow, like I feel like this show really has the power to change people and to get people to open their eyes and to get people to not be so afraid to discuss topics. And I guess I'm just given like my kudos to this show. I just think it's really amazing. I made you watch the episode. What did you think of it?
It's excellent. And I love that there's three generations of women.
Yeah.
As hosts. And I was really impressed by Ellen Pompeo as well.
Yeah, she was just great. But they're all fabulous. All right. And then to do some reviews, of course, it is Oscar season. We are getting screeners at the house galore. I feel like every day it's like a new movie comes. And we watched a couple things this week and we wanted to tell you about them. The first is we watched the new Julia Roberts. Both of these reviews are going to be Julia Roberts because they're both her projects. But the first was a film that she did that just premiered. It's called Ben is Back. It was written and directed by Peter Hedges. It stars Julia Roberts. It stars Peter Hedges' son, Lucas Hedges. It's a very powerful story. It takes place over the course of a day. Wow. I think this movie was an A. I really, Julia Roberts, I feel like even now, I love Julia Roberts. I'm obsessed with Julia Roberts. I've seen all of her movies. I love her, obsessed with her. I don't think she gets enough credit for her dramatic acting skills. I think people love seeing Julia Roberts in, My Best Friend's Wedding or, you know, oh my God, one of my favorite movies of all time, Pretty Woman, or, you know, they like seeing that Julie Roberts, like, you know, dramatic, like comedy Julie Roberts. But she's a really, really talented dramatic actress as well. I mean, I think that Erin Brockovich is a triumph. And Closer, she was amazing in Closer. And this film, she's playing the mother of an addict. And wow, this film really goes there. Very, very powerful. Very, I would say, heavy. And really well done. Both on her behalf and Lucas Hedges does a fantastic job.
I agree. I think this is, to me, probably next to Erin Brockovich, Julia Roberts' best performance that she's ever done. It's absolutely astonishing to watch. What an extraordinary year for Lucas Hedges, who also stars in Boy Erased.
Yeah.
He's one of the sort of two of the most talked about performances of the year. Excellent here. Somebody asked me, because I think this is another great five-star movie, how this compares to something like Requiem for a Dream. This movie is not as visceral and hopeless and dark, but it's still, it's just mesmerizing to watch, and I just can't recommend it highly enough.
And again, like kind of like Boy Erased, really a very beautiful, intricate relationship between a mother and a son.
And I love that the movie starts quietly and you think, how much could possibly go wrong in a day?
Oh, wow. And yeah, wow. You'll get to see. But yeah, no, I mean, Requiem for a Dream is on a whole other level. Requiem for a Dream is one of those films that when it ends, you want to fucking drink a scotch and pass out. Like, that movie is just, oh my God.
But it's also, the difference is that Requiem for a Dream is told from the point of view of addicts. This is told from the parents' point of view, which makes it powerful in a very unique way. And there's some beautiful social commentary that is threaded through very elegantly in this film.
And then the other Julia Roberts driven project that we saw is a new show that she has on Netflix. It's on Netflix, right?
It is on Amazon.
Oh, sorry, on Amazon, called Homecoming. And this was directed by Sam Emsel. Again, Julia Roberts stars. She basically, you know, I mean, there's other people in the show, but Julia Roberts drives the show. I mean, I think she's in like every scene. This was a 10-part miniseries.
Yes.
And, you know, I thought that this was really interesting. I don't necessarily know why she picked this project. Again, it's like, it's a dramatic role. Very intriguing, very stylized. This was, all the music used in the show is from 70s and 80s films, like dramatic films. So that really lends a certain energy to it. I can't describe exactly, you know, what it does, but you definitely feel this weird mix between a very, modern, edgy filming style, but then this old school music that really creates this cool kind of world.
Yeah, this harkens to me back to the great paranoid thrillers of the 70s.
Yeah.
This is both a detective story and a love story and a paranoid thriller where you're not quite sure what exactly is going on. As you said, they use visually a lot of interesting ways to divide the two timelines in which mm-hmm. the show takes place. And I, of course, irritated Ari as we were watching it being like, that's music from Carrie. That's Halloween 3. That's The Thing. That's Body Double. But the Amityville Horror, too. Great score. Anyway, all that to say, what I found really intriguing about this too and different is that the episodes are only about half an hour long, and it's rare to see a drama but that feels like the right length.
And I liked it because it keeps it going. You know what I mean? Like, you can binge this. You know, you can watch, you know, a bunch of, like,
in a day you could binge this.
Yeah, I really loved it. But I gotta say, I mean, some of the motivations of the characters I didn't understand. There were some things in there that I was like, I don't know. But I think overall, very enjoyable, very fun. Like very watchable. You could, like you said, you could binge this in a day. And I really, I would recommend this
for sure. What's interesting, so Sam Esmail, who directed this, also did Mr. Robot. And if you like that show, he does visually a very unconventional framing for television.
Yes.
That really, I think, works here as well.
Yeah. I was talking to my coworker about this, and he was saying he loved Mr. Robot. So he was really looking forward to seeing this because of the style. But and again, like, seriously though, Julia Roberts could like literally do anything and I would watch it. They're like obsessed with her. So, all right, Miko. Well, with that, shall we get to the Nog-Off?
Let's do it.
All right. vegan products. Okay, so today we are doing the third annual Vegan Ari Show Knockoff. That's right, we are tasting four different kinds of vegan eggnog that you can buy in the store. I'm going to go through some of these, Mikos, to tell people what we're tasting. We have Holiday Nog by Califia Farms. It's made from almond milk. We have Silk Nog made from soy milk. Then we have So Delicious's Holiday Nog made from coconut milk. And finally, Trader Joe's Almond Nog made from almond milk. Now, Miko, what should we try first? What do you want to do?
You pick.
Let's start off with this Califia Holiday Nog. Okay, we're going to do we're going to pour ourselves a little bit, and then we're going to go through these. All right, ready? I feel like it's like wine tasting.
All right, let's do it.
All right, here we go. Ooh.
That's delicious.
Ooh, that's good. Not too thick. I could see putting... What do you put in nog? Rum? Scotch?
Scotch.
I don't know. All right.
And I think we're drinking this cold, so this might thicken when you heat it.
Yeah, do people drink... I'm Jewish. I don't know what you do on Christmas.
Yeah, you traditionally...
Do you heat this up?
You drink it hot.
All right. I love eggnog, by the way. I think it's delicious. All right, what are we tasting next? This is the Silk Nog from soy milk. All right, pour me a little bit. Yeah, there we go. All right, let's see what we think.
This is sweeter.
Sweeter, and honestly, the Califia, I feel like, has more of that nutmeggy, spicy taste. This doesn't have that. This is more like vanilla forward and creamy.
I agree.
I think I prefer that, honestly. But...
I prefer the first one.
Oh, interesting. All right, here, put me. All right, so this is the So Delicious Holiday Nog from coconut milk. All right, let's see. Oh, yeah. I like that better. I like that better than the other two.
This is the thickest so
Yum.
Far. Sweeter than the first one.
Yes.
I think the first one is still my favorite.
No, I like this. This is delicious. I don't really get a coconut flavor. Do you?
No. I'm going to do a...
Ooh, that's so good.
I'm going to revisit
here.
Oh,
wait. I'm going to have some more. Oh, all right. Let me have some more. Oh, no, I don't want something. I was just going to drink some. I don't need it. All right. Yeah, that was delicious. That's my favorite so far.
What? I went back to the first one, and I feel like when you're in a vineyard and you're revisiting a wine after you've had too many, and you're like, I forget what the last one tasted
like. I'm going back to the Califia, too. Wait, hold on. No. I got to be honest. No. The Califia... is not as good as the So Delicious. The So Delicious is where it's at. That's excellent. All right, now we're going to do the Trader Joe's Almond Nog. Are they kidding? This is just almond milk.
Yeah, this tastes like thick almond milk. It's good, but it doesn't really...
I love Trader Joe's, but this is just almond milk. Is there anything noggy in here?
I mean,
I'm gonna taste
so there's a. I mean, it's good. I would say this is certainly not bad. It's just not as holiday or not muggy.
Are they kidding? No, I'm sorry, but no. Look, I love Trader Joe's. I'm not saying this is bad. It doesn't taste bad, but this just tastes like thick vanilla almond milk. There's nothing eggnog in here. Oh my, Trader Joe's. Now, look, I don't mean to drag Trader Joe's. You know how much I love them, but I gotta call it out. That's okay. I'm not even putting the Trader Joe's one in the running. I'm sorry, but this is not like eggnog. So if you shop at Trader Joe's, just be warned of that. But I will say, of the other three, the So Delicious is my favorite. Then I think followed by the Silk Nog and then the Califia. What do you think?
I think I might like the So Delicious best as well. Definitely next one for me, though, is the Califia, because I think it's less sweet and has a very sort of delightful... nutmeg hint to it, but the middle one was fine.
And also on the Mercy for Animals Facebook page on the videos, I think we have a recipe to make your own nog. I mean, I think I remember doing it, and there's like, you know, spices, some sort of plant-based milk. I can't remember exactly what we put in it, but I remember Sarah making it and how delicious it was. So if you don't have a store near you that carries this stuff, you can make your own vegan eggnog and it's delicious. And you said you're supposed to drink this heated up with some sort of alcohol.
Well, you can drink it with or without, but I think a lot of people like it heated up.
Now, Miko, we have all these nogs. What are we going to do with all this shit?
We're going to drink it tonight.
All right. Well, you know, we did this in the fall, too. Remember we tried the fall-inspired, you know, milks? That was fun.
Yeah, I don't know why we couldn't find, you know, peppermint chocolate milk, for example.
Okay, I got to talk to you about that. Silk used to make, I think it was Silk, that chocolate, peppermint, and you know I'm not even a fan of peppermint and chocolate, like mint and chocolate together. I'm like, no, stop fucking with chocolate. Don't, the only thing that's acceptable with chocolate is caramel, peanut butter, that, like, whenever people start with like fruit or mint with chocolate, I can't stand it. But anyway, that was delicious. That was a mint chocolate thing that I loved. And I haven't seen it. I mean, maybe they stopped making it?
Maybe, or maybe we'll have to go to Whole Foods to find it.
All right. Well, anyway, there you have it. The Vegan Ari Show, third annual Nog Off. And the winner is So Delicious Is Coconut Milk Holiday Nog. Delicious. All right, Miko. With that, what do you say we do some vegan animal rights news?
Let's do it.
Okay, everybody, it is time for vegan animal rights news. First story. My home state of New Jersey, I am so proud, not only because our senator, Cory Booker, is vegan, but they became the first state in the country to pass a ban on wild animal circus acts this week.
That's huge.
This is amazing. There have been many cities across the country that have done this, but this is the first time a state has done this. Obviously, I think that this should be in all 50 states. It's very sad and devastating to see wild animals exploited this way, abused in order to perform. It is so, so upsetting. This is amazing. And I wanted to elaborate a little bit on this because one of our podcast listeners, you remember Kling to the Wreckage?
Yes.
Well, Kling, she's from New Jersey. She reached out to me on Twitter this week and she said that the new governor, Governor Phil Murphy, signed this on his second day in office. This is known as Nosey's Law in New Jersey. And she also wanted me to give credit to Senator Raymond Lesniak, because she said he was instrumental in getting this on the governor's desk. So thank you, Governor Murphy. Thank you, Senator Lesniak. Thank you, people of New Jersey. This is really amazing. And I think shows a lot of progress in this area. I mean, you know, obviously Ringling Brothers is out of business, but there are still other circuses using lions and bears and, you know, all sorts of elephants. And we have to stop this. This is just devastating for these animals. Okay, next story. The Farm Bill has passed in Congress, and this is being seen as a good thing in terms of some of the animal welfare measures in there. Now, I want to say first and foremost, the King Amendment, which is this addendum to the Farm Bill that comes up every couple years, this is something that Senator Steve King, who is a lunatic. He's a Republican senator from Iowa. He's a admitted white supremacist. I mean, this guy is a complete asshole. Every year, I mean, not every year, every time the Farm Bill comes up, it seems like he pushes this addendum. Now, Iowa is a huge farming state. The King Amendment, which is not in this bill, thank God, but the King Amendment would literally seek to undo essentially any law that's been passed statewide that regulates animal welfare, and not just for farmed animals, but we're talking like laws that govern dogs and cats, laws that govern wild animals, hunting. I mean, we have no idea that the language of the amendment is so broad. We have no idea exactly what it could do. So thankfully that was not part of the Farm Bill, but the Farm Bill also included, I'll just read some of this here. Section 12502 incorporates the Pet and Women's Safety Act. This is the correlation between domestic violence and animal abuse is well documented. What this does is it provides more resources to meet the housing needs of survivors with pets. And it says law enforcement will be equipped with additional tools to protect them from their abusers. So this has to do with domestic violence and animal abuse. That's really important. There's also section 12515, which this is the one I think we talked about this before. This prohibits the slaughter as well as the import export of dogs and cats for human consumption. Now, obviously, not a lot of people in the United States, just because culturally we don't eat dogs and cats, but this makes it a law that you can't do that, which is important. I mean, obviously, we're working toward the day where no animal is slaughtered, but I think this is an important step. And then section 12616 extends the Animal Welfare Act prohibition on animal fighting to U.S. territories. Now, animal fighting, you know, we're talking about dog fighting, cock fighting, that sort of thing. That's already been illegal in 50 states, but in U.S. territories, it hasn't been. So this extends it. So again, it's a good thing. It extends protections for animals in other parts of the world. So the fight moves on. We still got a lot of work to do. We still, have to get people to see all animals as individuals and to see all animals for who they are and work towards a day where we no longer exploit them. We no longer eat them. But again, a lot of people are hailing this as a very progressive version of the Farm Bill. Okay, next story. The German government has invested $780,000 in plant-based alternatives.
Really?
Yes. They are specifically earmarking these funds to improve the texture and all sorts of technologies to help improve plant-based meats. I think this is really great. I mean, the Canadian government, by the way, also has invested money in this, but the German government invested more. I think this is really great. There's a very strong vegan movement in Germany, and I think that all governments have a vested interest in making sure that plant-based meat and clean meat becomes, plant-based meat already is on the rise and has become a major success, but I think that governments across the world really should be supporting these efforts because of climate change and the fact that these meats just create much, much less greenhouse gas emissions, pollution. I mean, it's night and day. So thank you, government of Germany. Okay, next story. Amazon is in the news. Now, Miko, you know I love Amazon. I order from them all the time. I know you do too. I feel like every day there's another Amazon box, but we have a problem with Amazon. Amazon had been selling foie gras in the state of California for years after it's been banned. Okay. There was a lawsuit. They had to pay $100,000 in penalties and whatnot, which to Amazon is nothing. And they have agreed to stop selling foie gras in California. But here's my question. Why were they selling foie gras all those years when it was banned? And also, why are they selling foie gras at all? Amazon in the UK has banned foie gras for years now. Why are they still selling this inherently cruel, disgusting product of animal abuse in the United States? They should stop selling it.
Well, I wrote to them, I forget how many years ago now, and they would send back the stock answer that said, thank you for your email. We want to make all different kinds of products available to our customers. So there is this complete blindness toward what it is that you're selling. Willful blindness.
But they have taken a stance against cruel products before. They don't sell, for example, they don't sell shark fin. They have taken a stance. I don't understand what is stopping them from taking a stance on foie gras. Do you know that foie gras has been banned in many countries in the EU?
Yeah.
I mean,
this needs to stop.
This needs to stop. Amazon, you need to do better. They're the largest online retailer in the world. They should not be making profits off of animal abuse. It's ridiculous. So I'm glad they're not selling it in California anymore after they were called out and were forced to stop, but they should not be selling it at all. Okay, next story. a new undercover investigation from Animal Equality Italia. This was a heartbreaking undercover investigation into a cattle slaughterhouse in Italy. Really, really devastating footage. I haven't seen many undercover investigations from inside slaughterhouses that kill cows. I've seen a lot of chicken slaughter. But this really, I mean, I think there is this perception that things are done better in Europe, you know, that it's not as bad. Well, take a look at this investigation and you're going to be horrified. It is absolutely appalling. You have cows literally watching other cows being slaughtered, blood everywhere, cows shaking and vomiting. It's horrible. So go to the Animal Equality website, share this, especially if you know anybody who lives in Europe who says to you, oh no, meat production isn't that bad here. We treat the animals better. Oh really? Take a look at this. All right, next story. The city of Atlanta has banned retail pet stores from selling puppy mill animals.
I think that we should have a national ban on puppy mills.
I don't know
how that's still a thing that's
now,
allowed to happen.
This law is being seen as kind of like, you know, it's they're still allowing licensed breeders to breed dogs. So I don't know. Like, I mean, I think that, yeah, this is like a step in the right direction. But honestly, with the situation at shelters being what they are, where we euthanize millions and millions of animals every year because there's no homes, we shouldn't be breeding animals. And of course, the situation at puppy mills are it's devastating. So I can't. Yeah, I don't understand why puppy mills haven't been banned nationally. Like, this is just something that we shouldn't allow. It's horrifying. They're factory farms for dogs and cats.
And I do think that there should be, what is it, in California, is it that you are not allowed to sell bred dogs, you have to sell rescue animals, or is that just in Los Angeles?
I think that's just in Los Angeles.
Well, that should be a nationwide law.
Well, here's hoping for the day. All right, next story. Trader Joe's. I mean, I know I just dragged them in the new vegan product section, but now I'm going to give them props. Trader Joe's has just debuted new vegan Christmas cookies. These are their Twinkling Trees cookies. They're sugar-coated sugar cookies, holiday-themed, of course. We bought them.
And they're good as hell.
And they're really fucking good.
Is that wrong to say on Christmas?
I think people understand what
good.
You need. They're great. I think they're delicious. Now, it's 150 calories for one fucking cookie. And they're not that big.
It's worth it.
But it is worth it. And it's the holidays. You know, we have to indulge over the holidays. So I would say let's taste this in the new vegan products section. But we already ate them. And I loved them. I know I've shouted her out before. I follow that Trader Joe's vegan Instagram. And as soon as she posts anything, I like run to the store and get it. And she posted this. And I was like, that's it. Gotta get it. And they're great. So Trader Joe's, not so great on the almond nog, but well done on the Christmas cookies. All right, next story. Finland is in the news, Miko, the motherland. Finland is getting its first all-vegan burger chain.
Really?
Yes, it's called Bun to Bun. I mean, that sounds like something else. And it replaces meat patties with Beyond Burgers.
I love this.
And they're doing this as an environmental initiative. I think this is fabulous.
We'll have to go next time.
You know how I feel about the Beyond Burger. And
it's like your two favorite things, Finland and the Beyond Burger.
I mean, I love Finland, and I didn't know that the Beyond Burger was in Finland. I think this is amazing. Can you go to... Dear listeners, Finland has a supermarket, by the way, that the name of it is literally KKK.
Well,
how am I supposed to feel as a Jewish visitor when I go to Finland and I have to shop at the KKK? I don't want to shop at the KKK.
Let me explain the history to you. It's actually called the K Market.
Uh-huh.
But they started doing, you know, depending on the variety of selection,
mm-hmm.
you were either one case or two case. And unfortunately, whoever named the three case apparently was completely ignorant of world history. But yes, it's true. You can see, but they're like, blue squares with K's in them, but I'm sure that foreign visitors are like, what the fuck is going on in this country when there's a KKK
let's
market?
Let's just say the first time I saw it, I was like, really, Finland? Really? You're going to make me shop at a store called KKK?
I mean, there should be a change.org petition to be like, horrible. That needs to stop.
Anyway.
Maybe K++++?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Do you think that you can buy the Beyond Burger at the KKK?
I know that... Let's call it the K market, all right? Let's... Yes, you can. Because okay. I follow this amazing Finnish blog that's called Chips and Beer Vegans.
Oh my God,
they
I
only
love
do
that.
vegan junk food, and it's amazing. And if you post pictures that feature salads, you'll be banned from the group.
Right. They actually, like, if you post a burger and there's even a little bit of lettuce in it, you have to apologize for the lettuce. They make you, like, apologize. They don't allow any salads or any healthy food on there.
Right. So, but I have seen people talk about the Beyond Burger there, so I think it is available in stores.
Well, I can't wait to go to Bun to Bun. There are some locations in Helsinki, so the next time we're in Helsinki, we'll have to check it out and get a burger. All right, next story. Danone is going to be debuting coconut milk yogurt in its Oikos yogurt line. What's Oikos? Have you seen
Sounds
that in the market?
Like Greek yogurt.
Does this look familiar to you?
I haven't seen that, but
I mean, okay, like, look, I think this is great. The more vegan products we have on the market, I've never heard of Oikos, probably because it's dairy and I don't buy dairy, but I think it's amazing that Danone is doing plant-based versions of its products. I think this is incredible. Unfortunately, the photo that they have here that says the flavor is divine key lime pie. Nobody wants key lime pie yogurt. Ugh.
I disagree. I like, what's it called? Kite Hill makes a... Ugh. Key lime flavor, and
I
it's really good.
I hate that flavor. I hate that flavor, and I hate peach. Like, why do they always make peach yogurt?
Why do you
Who
have to hate
peach?
On fruit?
I don't, you know, I don't. I like strawberry-flavored yogurt. I like blueberry. I like vanilla. I just... Key lime. Ugh. All right, anyway.
People want to be adventurous. Anyway. Let them have their key lime weak yogurt.
All right. Have your key lime yogurt, as long as it's vegan. All right, next story. Vegan meat company, Upton Naturals, or I'm sorry, Upton's Naturals. What did I say?
Upton Naturals.
You get the point. Upton's Naturals. They are now available in over 5,000 U.S. stores and in 15 countries.
That's amazing.
I mean, you know, they're still a small family-owned company based in Chicago. They got their start in the mid-2000s. They were only, you know, when they first started, they were only sold in a couple stores in Chicago. Now they're all over the place. This says that they are in Chile, in Iceland. You can buy them in Canada. This is amazing. Good for them. And by the way, this is a company that really does give back. I know that they do a lot of vegan activism. I know, for example, they were one of the sponsors of the MFA Gala this year. And they're just a great company. And I think they're really, I think, widely credited for bringing like prepackaged and seasoned jackfruit to the market. I mean, jackfruit's been around for ages. I mean, people have been eating that, you know, that jackfruit comes from Southeast Asia. And it's the largest fruit on the planet. And it makes an amazing meat substitute, specifically for stuff like pulled pork. And I believe they were one of the first companies to bring, like, the pre-seasoned jackfruit to the marketplace in the U.S. So, well done, Upton's. Yeah, I know, Minnie's meowing. Miko keeps making a face. I know that you guys can't hear him because somebody actually commented that on the podcast, on the blog that you get. But we can hear him.
Minnie is rioting right now.
Minnie is rioting. It's a pussy riot all over this house. I don't know what's going on. Miko's already gone to tend to him. He does this sometimes.
He's excited about the vegan animal rights news section.
Yeah. All right. And finally, Jay-Z and Beyonce are backing a new vegan movement and documentary. Have you heard about this?
No.
Okay. This is a guy that they work with. He's a vegan exercise physiologist named Marco Borges. And he's the one that did their, like, vegan meal planner. And I guess he works with them when they go vegan. He is doing this new, he's calling it a plant-based movement called the Green Print. And as part of this, he's doing a documentary, a cookbook, some sort of digital tool, and a clinical trial. And Beyonce and Jay-Z are backing it. I mean, look, it doesn't get bigger than Beyonce and Jay-Z. So I think this is fabulous. I have no idea what exactly this is going to look like, but I'm here for it if it's all vegan. And I know, don't come at me. I know Beyonce wears fur. I know she wears leather. I know. I'm not saying, but I do think that the fact that she promotes plant-based eating in such a, she's very into it, and she talks about it on her social media and whatever, and she's got millions and millions and millions of followers. I mean, it can only be a good thing if she inspires people to start eating this way. So thank you, Beyonce, Jay-Z. Thank you, Marco Borges. Okay. All right, Mika. Well, with that, we've come to the end of another show.
Yes, we have.
I want to thank you so much for listening, everyone. Again, if you want to catch up with me or with Miko during the week, please do so on Twitter. I am at VeganAri. Miko is at Mika Balan. Or use the hashtag VeganAriShow. And remember, if you like our podcast, please consider leaving us a review and subscribing on iTunes, Spotify, or anywhere else the podcast is hosted. If we don't hear from you this week, we will talk to you next weekend. Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.